We're holding on Nun Amr Allah for fourth line. The Mishnah said, Lohi Kruvu Keves Baburka Bechola, if they hadn't offered a sheet for the Korban Talmud in the morning, so we said they should still offer the one in the afternoon. And Reb Shimon had said that there's a difference whether it was an onus or a shogig. But he says if it was bemazed, then they shouldn't bring it. Similarly, the Mishnah had continued as far as a similar thing with the Keturis. That if they hadn't, the Keturis had brought half of it in the morning, half of it in the evening. Reb Shimon had said that if they didn't bring it in the morning, then they bring the whole thing in the evening. And the Mishnah had said, Amar Reb Shimon, all of it, in that case, the entire mona was brought in the afternoon, unlike normally where you have half a mona in the morning and half in the afternoon. And the Mishnah had continued, because you inaugurate the Mizbeach HaZahav only with the Keturis that's offered on it. As the Pasuk says, as we're going to discuss further down on the Amud, you can't offer anything else on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. Well, one point that you do is you have the blood of the Korbanos of Yom Kippur and the Parhelim Gavashal Tzibur or whatever, but in order to use the Mizbeach HaZahav for that, it has to previously have been used for the Keturis. Now, Rashi explains that phrase, etc., is Reb Shimon explaining his reason. Why am I saying that if they didn't bring the Keturis in the mornings, they should bring the whole thing in the afternoon? And why is Reb Shimon saying that if they were mazed and didn't bring the Talmud Shal Shachar, then they shouldn't bring one in the afternoon? Is because you have to inaugurate the Mizbeach HaZahav with the Keturis, and you have to inaugurate the Mizbeach HaOla, the Mizbeach HaChitzin with the Talmud Shal Shachar. So according to Rashi, in other words, the Mishnah was giving that as an explanation of Reb Shimon's reason. So the Gemara is going to ask, what's it doing in the Mishnah? According to Rashi, what's it doing in the Mishnah? Reb Shimon is explaining his reasoning. So Tosfos says, because still the Mishnah hadn't said anything about which Talmud you inaugurate the Mizbeach with, so how does that come in all of a sudden? Tosfos themselves learn that it's not Reb Shimon's reason, it's just the Mishnah is saying a side thing, saying a separate din, and in that case the Gemara is saying, how does that come into the topic of this lesson? So the Gemara says, Chinuch man dechar shmei. Who said anything about inaugurating? We were talking about just a case that they missed bringing the Talmud Shal Shachar, or they missed bringing the Keturis in the morning, and we're talking about what they should do in the afternoon. Nothing to do with inaugurating either Mizbeach, so what's the question? So again, according to Tosfos' understanding of Rashi, the question would be, the Mishnah had indeed talked about the Keturis and about the Talmud, but it hadn't said anything about inaugurating them, and according to Tosfos, the question is, apparently the Chachamim do agree with Reb Shimon about the inauguration of the Mizbeach, that it has to be with the Talmud, that it has to be with the Talmud Shel Ben Harbayim, and it has to be with the Keturis, but how does that come into the Mishnah? What does that have to do with anything that we talked about? And how do we know that in that case the entire thing of Keturis is brought and not just half of it? So the Gemara says, Chassurim, so the Mishnah is missing words. V'hofi katoni, what it means is as follows. Lo'i kruvu keves la'boiker, lo'i akruvu ben ha'bayim. The Tanakhama says that if they have not brought the sheet for the trumpet in the morning, they should not bring the one in the evening. V'med v'ramamurim, now when would that apply? This is the part that the Mishnah is missing. So when is chanech ha'mizbeach? If the Mizbeach had never been inaugurated before, so it's a newly built Mizbeach, and they never brought the Talmud Shal Shachar on it. So now we're saying that they should not bring the one Ben Arbayim. But if the Mizbeach had already been inaugurated, Yakrivu Ben Arbayim, then fine. If they miss the morning one, they can go ahead and offer the afternoon one. So now the Ein Mechanchen of our Mishnah makes sense, because the Mishnah implicitly was in fact distinguishing between whether the Mizbeach has already been in use versus whether it has not been in use yet. And then Amar Reb Shimon, and Reb Shimon comes and disagrees. Emesai, Bizman Shahoyu Anusim Ershegin. When would we say that they can bring the Talmud Shal Ben Harbayim? Is only when they didn't bring the morning one because there was an onus to Ershegin. Avnim Hoy Mezidin, but if they deliberately left out the Talmud Shal Shachar, the Loy Kruvu, and Loy Kruvu Kevis Vaboyt, the Loy Kruvu Ben Harbayim. Then he says that no, if they didn't bring the morning one, they should not bring the afternoon one. But he continues, Loic Tudor Curtis Baboko Yak Tudor Ben Habain, but if they didn't bring Curtis in the morning, they can indeed bring the Curtis in the evening, as the Gemara is going to explain in a second, a reason to distinguish between those things. And therefore, so now we understand what the relevance is to our Mishnah of the Chinuch, of the Mizbeach HaPnimi, or the Mizbeach HaChitzen, because the Tanna Kamma was indeed implicitly talking about that and drawing a distinction whether the Mizbeach has previously been used. So in other words, when the Tanna Kamma is saying implicitly in the missing part of the Mishnah, that if they didn't bring the morning one, they should not bring the afternoon one, so we're saying, don't bring the afternoon one as the first korban on this Mizbeach, because when you're going to be bringing the korban, when you're going to be bringing the first korban on the Mizbeach, it has to be the word, when you're going to be bringing the first tumid on the Mizbeach, it has to be the morning one. Where Rav Shimon draws a distinction also between whether they were sure you were mazid or onus. Okay. The Gemara says, where do we know that from? That specifically to inaugurate the Mizbeach has to be with the tumid shal shachar. So the Tana Rabban, we learn in a Braisa. The Pasuk says, in last week's parasha, describes the Korban Talmud, and it says, V'esakeves ha-sheni tasa ben ha-abayim. The second sheik you should bring in the afternoon. So why does it have to call it the second one? Of course, if you bring the one in the morning, then the one for the afternoon is, of course, the second one. It means, we learn from that, sheni ben ha-abayim, v'lo yishin ben ha-abayim. It has to be the second one of the day, is the one that is brought in the afternoon. Below Yushin Ben Habayim, the first one should not be the one that was brought in the afternoon. However, when does that apply? When is Chanuch HaMizbeach? Only if the Mizbeach have not yet been inaugurated, because that pasuk in Parshas Tetzave is talking about the first time. It's talking about they've just built the Mizbeach and the Mishkan, and they're inaugurating the Mishkan and bringing the Korbanos on it. So the first thing they should do is bring the Korban Talmud of the morning. But once the Mizbeach has been dedicated and already been used for Korbanos, after the Rishon Ben Ha'abayim, then even the first one could be in the afternoon, meaning that if they miss the morning one, then they can still bring the afternoon one, and there's where Rav Shimon draws a distinction between whether they missed it because of Onus or Shogeg versus Mazid. Rashi points out that in Parshas Pinchas, when it again talks about the Korban Talmud, it does say over there also, Esakeves Hasheni Tasa Ben Ha'aboyim, but in that particular pasuk, it doesn't say Esakeves Echad Tasa V'aboyim. It does, a few psukim earlier, but in that particular pasuk, where it mentions the second one, it doesn't mention the first one. And so Rashi brings from Sifri that we need to learn from that, the reason why it needs to say Sakevas Echad Tasa V'aboyke is to tell us that it's not two in the morning and two in the afternoon, it's one in the morning and one in the afternoon, but nevertheless we also see from it that when it comes to once the Mizbeach is already in regular use, if they miss a morning Talmud, then they can still bring the afternoon one, because in the Pasuk that talks about the afternoon one, in Parshas Pinchas, it does not mention the first one in the same Pasuk. And we said in the Mishnah, Amar Rav Shimon Emasai, Rav Shimon had said, when would we say that you could bring the afternoon one on a Mizbeach that's already in use? This man shall run Nusin or Shoigin. If they miss the first one in the morning because of an onus or because of Shoigin, Avram Hoy Mizidin, but if they missed it deliberately, then if they didn't bring the one in the morning, then Rav Shimon says they cannot bring the one in the afternoon. But Rav Shimon had said in the Mishnah, Loik Tiru Ketodas Vaboyke, but if they didn't bring the Ketodas in the morning, Yakturu Ben Habayim, they can bring the Ketodas in the afternoon. So, in other words, so Rav Shimon in short is saying that when it comes to the Korban Talmud, if they miss the morning one, the Mazid, they can't make it up later in the day. But if they miss the Ketodas in the morning, then they can go ahead and make it up later in the day. And not only that, but they bring that entire day's ration of Ketodas, the entire month. But they want to ask, what do you mean, loyak ribu ben ha'abayim? We're saying that according to Reb Shimon, if they miss the Talmud in the morning, then they shouldn't bring the mezid, then they shouldn't bring the one in the afternoon. What do you mean? The koyanim chotim is be'ach batal. Just because the koyanim sinned and deliberately didn't bring the Talmud shal shachar, therefore the mezbeach that day should be batal, and not bring the Talmud at all. So the Gemara says, Omar Rava, Hachi Kama. Rava says, what Rav Shimon means is, and we learned this in the Gemara, we learned this in the Mishnah, loyak ribu hein, it means those particular koyanim who failed to bring the Talmud Shal Shachar should not be bringing it. Avo Acherim Yakrivu, but other Koyanim could perfectly well do that. So in other words, like we learned yesterday, the Keren Oda points out, when they make the pious, when they have all the Kohenim stand in a circle and stick out their fingers and they're going to count in order to see which one gets which Avodah, they're not going to include those Kohenim. Generally speaking, by the way, the Rambam brings in Chukos Smidin and Mosafin based on the Gemara and Yoma, that usually they wouldn't do a new girdle for the afternoon Talmud anyhow, because usually whoever did it in the morning would also do it in the afternoon. But here, where they missed it out, then we are going to anyway have to make them girdle for the afternoon one, and those Kohenim who failed to do it are going to be disqualified from that new pious. We talked about yesterday, Revelva Brisker learns not just those particular Kohenim, but the entire base of, because the entire base of is responsible to see to it that the Talmud is brought, and if they all failed to see to it that it gets done, then all of them are responsible. We said in the Mishnah, Lo yiktiru k'toros b'boker yiktiru b'ein ha'abayim. Now, we said, on the other hand, that if they didn't bring the k'toros in the morning, they can bring it in the afternoon, even according to Reb Shimon. So why is that? Why by the Talmud is he penalizing them and saying that they can't bring it, but by the k'toros in the afternoon they could? The reason is, kivin d'lo shchicha, because the k'toros is not as common, because it's only twice a day. Now the Talmud is also, of course, twice a day, but the procedure of the Talmud is exactly the same as any other Oila, and many Oilas are brought throughout the day. Or Rashi says another explanation of Loish Shticha is it wasn't that common that the same person, that the same Kohen should get to do the Ketoris twice. And the reason for that is Umi Akra, because it causes a person to become rich. There's a Segula in the Ketoris, there's a segula in the Ketoros that the person who offers it is benched by Hashem with wealth. The Gemara elsewhere learns it from the fact that the Pasuk says Yasimu Ketora ba'apecha. Rashi brings it over here that they will put Ketoros, so to speak, for Hashem's nose to smell the fragrance. And then the next pasuk continues, Baruch Hashem Cheloi, Hashem blesses wealth. So we learn from that the Ketoros had the power to make a person wealthy. And in fact, for that reason, in the Beis Mikdash, they would generally not allow any one Kohen to do it more than once in his lifetime. So according to Rashi's first explanation, it's Loish Shticha in the sense that you only have Ketoros twice a day, whereas Oilus you have many times a day. According to the second explanation, the vote is it's very uncommon that one Kohen should have the opportunity to do it. Chaviva Lahu, therefore it's very precious to them, very Pashi, and therefore it's not very common, not very likely, that they're going to be pashea, that they're going to be careless and not do it, and therefore the Shimon doesn't find the need to penalize them if they in fact missed it, even if it was amazing. Tosfos points out that actually based on the Gemara and Yoma, bringing the Ola also makes a person wealthy. But the Ketoros is more, as we're saying, it's less common because it's brought only, each Kohen gets to do it generally only once in his lifetime. So it's not very common, not very likely that they're going to miss it. Api Kabbalah is an explanation from Oblivious, the Rebbe's father, that talks about the deeper connection behind it. Ketoros has to do with Das, or it was actually in last week's Lekut Levi Yitzchak column in Chayenu, is because the Ketoros is, the Mizbeach of Ketoros is in the middle, is in the middle of the Heichel, and therefore it represents Das, which is exact balance between Chochma and Gvura, and Das also has to do with wealth, and he makes a whole connection over there between these various points. Next, the Mishnah said, "Amar Reb Shimon b'cholah is a kreva bein abayim." Reb Shimon says that if they didn't bring the Ketoros in the morning, then they bring that entire day's ration of Ketoros in the afternoon, the entire month. And he continued, "Shein mechanchan es mizbeach hazav el b'ketoros hasamim shabein abayim b'cholah," because the mizbeach hazav you inaugurate only with the Ketoros of the evening. And if we're doing that for the first time, then we're going to bring a whole mana rather than a half a mana like the other times. Again, we have the same machloekas Rashi and Tosfos about is this she'en mechanchin part of Reb Shimon's statement and explaining why is it that in that case that we bring the Ketoros in the afternoon, even though we didn't bring it in the morning. And we just said why even the Kohenim themselves who missed it can bring it, because we're not going to penalize them because it's highly unlikely they're going to miss it in the first place. But according to Rashi, Reb Shimon is explaining why am I saying in general that the Ketoros can be brought in the evening if it wasn't brought in the morning, because in any case, the first time you're inaugurating a Mizbeach, you would bring the Ketoros of the evening. According to Tosfos, it's a separate statement of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, "Vatanya, the Torah says Sam Shoshahar." But we learn in another Brisa that you have to inaugurate the Mizbeach HaZahav with the Torah says Samim of the morning. So is it the morning one or the evening one? And the answer is Tanoi. Okay, so it's a Machlokas Tanoi. It's a Machlokas Tanoi, in which Torah has to be brought first on a newly inaugurated Mizbeach HaZahav, the morning one or the afternoon one. So the Gemara says, "Omer Abayim, Mistaber Commander Omer B'Torah says Samim Shabbein Abayim." It's more logical to follow the opinion that, as it was in our Mishnah, that it would be the Ketoros of the afternoon that should be brought on a new Mizbeach first. Dichtiv, because the Pasuk says about the Ketoros in last week's parasha, ba-boker, every morning, behitivoy asaneris, when he prepares the lamps of the menorah, yaktirana, then he should offer the Ketoros. Now, the Hatovah Saneris, we have an Abaya Hav Masader, is every morning the Kohen would go in and clean out the lamps of the menorah and put in fresh oil and fresh wicks and all. According to most of Rishonim, it would be lit only in the evening. According to the Rambam, it would be lit in the evening and in the morning. He learns that Hatovah includes both of them. But anyway, Ve'tivah Saneris refers to the morning when he cleans them out from the leftovers of last night. So, Abaya points out, if you hadn't lit the menorah last night, then there wouldn't be anything to clean out. There would be no hatava to do in the morning. So therefore, that shows that the first lighting of the menorah was done in the evening. And therefore, that would mean, since the pasuk is putting them together and saying when you prepare the lamps of the menorah, when you clean them out, is when you should do the offering of tertus, that means the Pasuk is saying every morning, but if you hadn't lit the menorah last night, then there wouldn't be anything to clean. Therefore, you see that inaugurating the menorah is then ben habayim, and therefore, also, it's more logical, says Abaya, that the Ketoros also, since the Pasuk is putting them together, that when Aaron, any future Kohen, lights the menorah, at that time, he should offer the Ketoros of the afternoon. So therefore, if the first lighting of the menorah is going to be in the afternoon, then the first offering of the Ketoros on a new Mizbeach is also going to be in the afternoon. So therefore, more logical to follow that opinion. Incidentally, there's an explanation in that regard when it comes to the Hashminoyim rededicating the Beis Hamikdash, and they found the one jug of oil, etc. One way of looking at it is that, in fact, the first, because of this halacha over here that we're saying, the first lighting of the menorah is done in the afternoon, it would mean the first one they did was the afternoon, late in the day, of the 25th of Kislev. It would mean, in other words, like this, we start lighting on the night before that, the night following the 24th of Kislev. But it comes out, according to that way of looking at it, that the first one may have actually been on the evening going into the 26th. But it was still during the day, on the 25th, because of course the Avodah itself is done during the day, which is why the 25th is the first day of Hanukkah. So the Gemara says, "Lamanda Amar B'Ketoros Hasamim Shal Shachar." What about the opinion that says that when you inaugurate the Mizbeach HaPnimi, it should be with the Ketoros of the morning? So why doesn't he learn from this pasuk by comparing it to the menorah that it should in fact be in the afternoon? The reason is Gamma Mizbeach Oila. Because he says instead, you're going to learn from the Mizbeach HaChitzen, from the Mizbeach Oila. Malahalan the Tomer Shal Shachar. We just said before that to inaugurate a new Mizbeach HaChitzen, you have to bring the Tomer Shal Shachar on it. Afkan, but Teres HaSam Shal Shachar, the same way a new Mizbeach HaPnimi should also be with the morning Teres. So each one has a basis for what they're saying. Nevertheless, Abaye is saying it's more logical to accept the first opinion, which is also our Stam Mishnah, and therefore, and that's how the Rambam in fact passes it, that when you build a new Mizbeach HaPnimi, then the first Ketoros you should offer on it should be the afternoon Ketoros. Okay. We said in the Mishnah of Elias HaShulchan El Balachal Aponim B'Shabbos, we said when you have a new Shulchan, what do you first inaugurate it with is by putting new Lechem Aponim on it on Shabbos. Because as we're going to learn later in the Masechta, in more detail, the Lechem Aponim is placed on the Shulchan every Shabbos and then removed from there the next Shabbos and replaced with new Lechem Aponim. And the old one, they take the Levona and the two spoons that are there on the table, on the Shulchan, they burn the Levona on the Mizbeach and then the Kohenim distribute the Lechem Aponim and eat it. So the Gemara says, So now the implication is the Mishnah is saying that you inaugurate the Shulchan only with the Lechem Aponim on Shabbos. So what would that mean? Ava b'choil, if you started with a new Shulchan on weekday, it sounds like ichnuchi hu d'loy michnach. It sounds like the Mishnah is saying you can't inaugurate it with new Lechem Aponim, as that goes on there only on Shabbos. Hokadushi Mikvish. But the implication of the Mishnah does seem to be that if you were to put Lechem Aponim on the Shulchan on a weekday, it would become Kodesh in the sense that now it has its full Kedushas HaGuf, And as we learned before, that would mean, as we learned before, as far as the shtelachim and other such things, it means that now if it's taken out of the azara, it becomes possible, and if it's full yom touches it, it becomes possible, and you can't be poded, etc. So it sounds like all the Mishnah is saying is to inaugurate the shulchan has to be done on Shabbos. But if you were to put lachem upon him on a new shulchan on weekdays, then it would in fact become kaddish. The problem with that is that later in the Masechta, we're going to say that in fact it's not so. If you put lachem upon him on the shulchan during the week, nothing happens to that lachem upon him. Its status does not change. So one answer is he gufa kamashma one. That's exactly what our Mishnah wants to imply. The chinuch, the kiddush, the shulchan, the shabbosu, that both the inauguration of a shulchan and the fact that the shulchan has the ability to make the lachem upon him fully kodesh happens only on Shabbos and not on weekdays. Kibikatani Sefer, which would be just like the Mishnah continues when it says Veloyasa Minerda El Bashiva Nerdasea Ben Abayim. What do you inaugurate a new Minerda with? Is only by lighting its seven lamps in the afternoon. And now when it comes to the Minerda, actually, you're not being the Kaddish anything else in it. You're pouring oil into it, but the oil itself is already in a Kli Charis, and putting it in the Minerda doesn't make it any more Kaddish. So the same way, when the Shulchan, we're not just talking about we're talking about primarily, we're focusing on when you have to put the Lachem upon him on it, and when you inaugurate a Shulchan with it, but it is true also that with the Shulchan, where there is Kiddush involved, because before the Lachem upon him did not have Kiddush as a Guf, and now it does, then therefore that takes place only on Shabbos. We're talking about bringing the Torahs. The Gemara says, "Toner Abanan, Zehu Torahs Shal also the Yochad Amizbeach Achitzen." This that we're going to explain in a second was the Torahs that was brought for a Yochid on, and it was brought on the Mizbeach Achitzen. It's two exceptions. Usually, Torahs is brought only by the Tzibur. Torahs is never meant to be brought by a Yochid. And in fact, we have at the end of last week's parashah, I saw all of Torahs Zora, and Rashi explained that it means anything that's not the Torahs that was made by the Tzibur is considered Zora. But you have a unique exception in history where you had a Yochid was able to bring Torahs, and it was brought on. And the second exception, on Mizbeach HaChitzen, it was brought on the Mizbeach HaChitzen, not on Mizbeach HaPnimi. This was a one-time Hayrah from Hashem to do that. So what time in history are we talking about? Amar Papa Menasim. So the Papa says when the Nasim brought their korbanos every day. We have each one brought the same korban. Each one had different remozim and different korbanos and everything with it, as we know, which is why it's repeated 12 times in the Torah. But you have among the things they brought is kaf achas, a spoonful, a sara zahav, weighing 10 gold shekels, malaya k'toras, full of k'toras. And as Rashi brings on the pasuk based on this Gemara, it was a unique thing. Usually a yochid can't bring the k'toras, but this time they could and it was accepted. And it was burnt on the Mizbeach HaChitzen. So the Gemara says, Ella Yochid HaMizbeach HaChitzen Hu Deloy. So what is the implication? You're saying that the reason why it was a unique exception is because it was an individual Torah and it was burnt on the Mizbeach HaChitzen. Does that imply that if a Yochid in future generations brings Torah, you could burn it on the Inu Mizbeach? If not so. Not only that, what is the implication? Amizbeach HaChitzen Yochid Hu Deloy. The implication is that Amizbeach HaChitzen, a Yochid, could never bring Torahs only that one time of the Nesiyim. Hot Sibur Makrivu, implying that the Sibur could. No, Vatanya. So in other words, it comes out, the way the Braisa is phrasing it, it makes it sound like that one time a Yochid could bring it on Amizbeach HaChitzen. Implying, as if it implies that other times a Yochid could bring it, as long as it's brought on Amizbeach HaPnimi, and as if it implies that to bring on Amizbeach HaChitzen, in the future a Yochid can't, but a Tzibur can. But it's not so. Vatanya, we learn in a Braisa, Yochid Yeh Yochid Misnadav or maybe Kayotzibah Nadava. You would think that a Yochid can bring Torahs like the real thing, like the real thing, and offer it as an adava. The Koran, you bomotzav sechatishma valsisa, and you would apply there what the pasuk says that what comes out of your lips, you should observe and you should do, meaning that a person has to fulfill his nedarim. So if a person made a neder to bring Torahs, then maybe he should actually bring it. Tosfos points out, now what he can do is, lemoistra letzibur, what he can do is he can, if he himself made Torahs, now he himself has no business making it in the first place, because the Torah says in this week's parashah, I'll have to duplicate the recipe of the Torahs. But let's suppose that he did, or let's suppose he's one of the experts in the Bais Hamikdash, and he specifically made it at home in order to moisture the Tzibur, in order to give it to the Tzibur, so that would be fine. He has to fully give it over to the Tzibur, though he can't retain any personal ownership of it. The one time, the one other time that we find that Yechidim brought Keteris, they ended up the worst off for it, Korach and his group. So how do we know that an individual doesn't bring Keteris? Talmud Lomar, Sal Olav, Keteris Zorah. Therefore, the Pasuk says, last week's parasha, don't bring on it foreign Keteris. So it's Zorah because it has to be brought by the Tzibur. Continues the Braisa, Yochel lo yehe mevi she'en mevi chevosa kayotzeba. So you would think, fine, a yochid lo yehe yochid mevi she'en mevi chevosa kayotzeba. Fine, so maybe a yochid can't bring ketores because there's never a time when he's obligated to. You can say any time, any korban that a yochid brings, you can say any korban that he brings voluntarily would be one where sometimes he has to bring it as an obligatory korban. An oila, for example, generally a person brings an oila voluntarily, but sometimes a person has a requirement to bring an oila. A yeledes, a mitzvah, etc. And then the same thing with a shlomim. You have a shlomim of a nazir, for example. So therefore, you could say that the rule would be any korban that a yochid brings the nedava has to be one that he could bring the chayv. Well, since you never find that he's obligated to bring ketores, then you could say fine. Then therefore, you don't have a basis that he should bring ketores of his own. Avot tzibur yehi maybe, but maybe the tzibur can bring ketores voluntarily. She maybe chayv akayotzeba, because after all, they have an obligation to bring the ketores every day. No, tamud loy meloy salu. Therefore, the pasuk says you plural should not offer on it ketores zara. Salu is referring to it, is referring to the rabbin. Fine. Yochol lo yalo on mizbech ha-pnimi, yalo yalo on mizbech ha-chitzin. So you would think maybe you can't bring it on mizbech ha-pnimi, because that's what the pasuk is talking about. Like, salu olav, don't bring on it on the mizbech ha-pnimi, don't bring foreign ketores. Avo yalo on mizbech ha-chitzin, maybe they could bring it on the mizbech ha-chitzin. No. Talmud Lomar, therefore, the pasuk says, in this week's parasha, when Hashem summarizes to Moshe all the things that they need to make for the Mishkan, the eis shemen ha-mishcha, Hashem tells him, you have to make the shemen ha-mishcha, and put it with salu and all the oven shard, and they're going to make the shemen ha-mishcha, the eis ketores ha-samim la-kodesh, and the ketores of spices for the holy purpose, according to all that I commanded you they should do, which means meaning only what I commanded you in this connection. That ketores of the tzibur goes only on the mizbeach hapnimi. There's no voluntary ketores. There's no bringing it on the mizbeach hachitzen. So we see that in the Yochid can't bring Keteris at all, and a Tzibur can't bring Keteris as Nadava, only as obligatory the twice a day Keteris, and that goes on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. Tosfos discusses that once we have this Pasuk of Cholashetz V'Sicha Yasu, then we don't really need the Pasuk like Salo of Keteris Zara, and Tosfos discusses that, discusses reasons why we might need both of the Mudim. Maybe the Yochid is able to bring it like a Tzibur, meaning, in other words, so the tzibur is being told, yasu, they plural should do exactly as I told you. Maybe the yachid is given more leeway, and then Tosfos discusses that a little bit. Okay. In any case, the point is, the Udiyu Braisa at the bottom of the previous Amud, where we said that a yochid, that only one time by the Nesiim did a yochid bring Keteris, and it was accepted on the Mizbeach HaChitzen, as if it makes it sound like a yochid can bring in future generations, as long as he brings it on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, and that the Tzibur can bring it on the Mizbeach HaChitzen, but we see from this Braisa it's not so. So the answer is Amar Apapa Lo Yiboy Apama. No, what the Braisa on Amar Aleph was saying is needless to say. Lo Yiboy Tzibur on Mizbeach HaChitzen, needless to say that Tzibur cannot bring Torahs on the Mizbeach HaChitzen, the Le'achachon. We never find an example anywhere, even the Nesiim, where the Tzibur brought Torahs and it was offered on the outer Mizbeach. The Lo Yiboy Yochid on Mizbeach HaPnimi, and needless to say, a Yochid cannot bring it on the inner Mizbeach. Same thing, the Le'achachon. We never find any example where anybody did that. Ela afilu yochid on mizbeach hachitzen, but even a yochid to bring on the mizbeach hachitzen, the ashlechon v'nesiim, where we could argue, we have a precedent from the nesiim, maybe it should be allowed. No, you should know, hodas shah hoisa, this was a one-time hodah, and you're not meant to learn from it for any future generation. Now we're going to start talking about the Chavitei Kohen Gadol. You have from here on and into the next parak, we're going to be talking, and in the subsequent parakim, we're going to be talking about the various kinds of, now we had, at the beginning of the Masechta, we focused mainly on the voluntary menachas. We're going to discuss them further on as well, but from here on, we're going to discuss a lot of the obligatory menachas as well. Besides, you have five types of mincha that an individual can bring, plain flour, two types of baked and two types of fried, which we're going to discuss them in the next paragraph. Besides that, also you have a number of obligatory menachas. The first one of them is the Chavitei Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol's mincha, which he would bring every day. A Kohen Hedit brings the exact same mincha the first time he ever does the Avodah. The Kohen Gadol brings it every day. That's called Minchas Chavitei. It's also the Mishnah calls it here Chavite Kohen Gadol. I remember, by the way, when I was a kid, in modern Hebrew, chavita means an omelet. So when I was a kid, I lived in Eretz Yisrael a couple of years as a kid. I thought that I think the Kohen Gadol was bringing an omelet as a korban every day. But no, we're going to see in the Gemara, it's a mincha of flour and oil as a usual mincha. It's called chavite for the same reason, actually, that an omelet is called that, because it's prepared in a machlas in a frying pan. We're going to see in the Gemara exactly. We're going to see in the Gemara exactly how it's prepared. There's a lot of different interesting reasons that the Mephoshim give why Hashem tells the Kohen Gadol to bring such a mincha every day. The Abarbanel alone gives a whole bunch of reasons. First of all, that twice a day should be bringing a korban to be mechaper for himself, especially he's being mechaper for the whole Jewish people, so he should be constantly clean from Averis. He should also, this way it'll motivate other people to realize if even the Kohen Gadol has to bring a korban every day, we should also be motivated to do tshuva and to check our ma'asim. Other people who bring korbanos won't be embarrassed to bring them. They'll see the Kohen Gadol is bringing two kaparas for himself every day. Poor people won't be embarrassed that they're bringing only flour, because look, the Kohen Gadol's, they're bringing also mincha. As the Gemara is going to tell us later in the Masechta, mincha is usually a poor person's korban. They're going to say, look, the Kohen Gadol himself, who's very rich, brings that, and he goes on and on. The Kohen Gadol himself should act before Hashem like a poor person, and he goes on and he goes on and gives like a dozen reasons, why the Kohen Gadol should be bringing a mincha chavitin every day. Okay. So let's talk about the dinim of that. The Mishnah says, chavite Kohen Gadol, lo hoy boin chatzoy. Now, like this, the Pasuk tells us that he, like the Kodesh, he offers half of it in the morning and half of it in the evening. So you have one Isaron, and he brings half of the Isaron in the morning and half in the evening. So now, chavite Kohen Gadol, lo hoy boin chatzoy. He wouldn't bring the mincha to begin with as halves. He wouldn't bring a half isaron of flour in the morning and prepare the chavitin and then do another half in the evening. Ella, maybe isaron shalom. Rather, in the morning he brings an entire isaron of flour v'chotzehu, and then they divide it. Makriv mechtzah b'boker, mechtzah ben habayim, and half of it is offered in the morning and half of it in the afternoon. Rashi explains the reason is because since the pasuk says machatzisa, half of it implies half of a complete thing, so therefore you have to start off with a complete thing and only then you divide it. What happens? The Mishnah continues. Kohen shevi metzah shachris. Suppose that the Kohen Gadol brought the half isor in the morning like normal. Uminu kohen achatachta umes, and then he passed away. Uminu kohen achatachta, and then that same day they appointed a new Kohen Gadol. And that new Kohen Gadol is going to have to bring his own minchas chavitin. But what's he going to do? Again, he can't bring a half isaron from his house because it has to be a complete isaron to begin with. Nor can he bring the half isaron left by the first one because it's not his. The pashtus, even if he inherits from his father, it had to be his when it was first brought. Ella, maybe isaron shalom mechzah b'chotzehu. Rather, the new Kohen Gadol brings an entire isaron, and then you divide it. Makriv mechzah, and he brings half of it for the minchas chavitin of the evening. Mechzah ovad, and the other half has to be lost. Meaning, as we're going to say in the Gemara, that we have to leave it until it becomes posel, and then we're going to burn it like other psula mukdashim. Nimsu, so it comes out, Shnei Chatzorin Kraven, it comes out then that of that day, it comes out that two asuranis of flour were being brought for the Minchas Chavitin. Shnei Chatzorin Kraven, of those two asuranim, two halves were being offered, half of one in the morning, half of the other one in the afternoon, or Shnei Chatzorin Ovdin, and the other half are having to be lost and having to be burned because they're posel. Toast was actually wonder why would it have to be lost? Why can't we be poided? Why can't we say it doesn't have kedusha like guf yet? So Tosfos says maybe that's what it means. Maybe ovad means not in the sense you have to burn it necessarily, but at least when it comes to the second half of the second one, since it doesn't have kedusha like guf yet, maybe indeed you could be poided. It just means ovad is lost from being brought as a korban. So the Gemara explains, why is it that you have to bring a complete isaron to begin with? Tanan Rabbanan, ilu nema mincha machzis, if the Torah had said the expression that the Kohen Gadol brings a mincha, a half, or you see Omer, then it means maybe chatzi isaron with beis shachris or makriv, then it would mean he brings half an isaron in the morning from his house and offers it, but chatzi isaron with beis iris or makriv, and he does the same thing in the afternoon. No, tamad lema machzisa ba'boker or machzisa ba'orev, therefore the process is half of it in the morning and half of it in the afternoon, implying mechtsami shalom humakrim. So it has to be half out of a complete isorin, like Rashi had mentioned, like Rashi had explained on the Mishnah. Okay, so how do you fulfill that? Maybe isorin shalom, you bring an entire isorin b'chotzeu and you divide it umakrim mechtsa b'berko mechtsa ben habayim, and half of it is offered in the morning and half in the afternoon. Continues the Braisa. Nitma mechza ben ha'abayim, shal ben ha'abayim. Suppose the half that was supposed to be offered ben ha'abayim became tomei. Osha ovado, it was lost. Yocho yobi chafi yisarim beisei iris. You would think that at this point he can now bring another half yisarim from his house for in the evening. Viyakriv and offer that. No, samabayim, machtsi sah baboko, machtsi sah barev. No, because the process is half of it in the morning and half of it in the afternoon. Now she explains, we're learning from the Vol, that even the Kohen is now Ben Habayim, even though he had already offered half of that Yisodin that morning, but nevertheless, now, because the second one is gone, it still has to be a half Yisodin that comes out of a complete Yisodin. Meaning, always Mechsen Yisholim, who maybe, it always has to be, he's bringing a half out of a complete Yisodin. Okay, so how is this going to work? Maybe Yisodin Sholim Ibeisa, he's going to have to bring another Yisodin from his house, for Chatzeu, and divide it, or Machu Mechsa, and half of it is going to be offered, or Mechsa Ovad, and half of it is going to be
Ibeisa.
But basically, because it has to be the Kohen Gadol's personal property. It doesn't come from Truma Salishka like most other korbanos. This is the Kohen Gadol's personal korban every day.
What's the marker for that?
The marker for that is because the pasuk says Zek korban Aaron Uvana. It has to be his own personal korban. So I was just saying, a minute ago that the Abba Benel gives a whole bunch of reasons why the Kohen Gadol brings this korban anyway, and among the first reason he gives is Pasha Kapara for him. So the same way, a person has to bring an Ola or a Chatas or an Ashram or what have you out of his own money. The same way, the Kohen Gadol is bringing himself Kapara every day, has to be out of his own money. Yeah. So therefore, nimtzu shnei chatzon kriven or shnei chatzon ovdim. So in a case like that, it comes out that day a half of each of two esroinim was offered on mizbeach, and the other half of each one is lost because the first one became tomei or became lost for whatever reason, and the second one has to deliberately be left to be lost because you can only bring half of it. And similarly, you have Kohen Gadol shehikriv mechtsa b'shachris, and then you have similarly the case of our Mishnah, where the Kohen Gadol offered half of the son in the morning, or mess, and he passed away, minu achatachtav, and they appointed another Kohen Gadol instead of him. Same thing, yocho yovi chafi yisodin mibesei. You would think that he can bring just a half of the yisodin from his house, or chafi yisodin mishorishin, or that he can bring the half of the yisodin that was left over by the first one. No, tamad lima umachti sabarev. Again, the pasuk is saying that it has to be and it's half in the evening, so that means mechtsa mishalom or maybe umakriv. It always has to be a half out of a whole one. Okay, so maybe yisodin shalom b'chatzeu or makriv. So he brings a new half yisodin and divides it, and then offers half or mechtsa avad, and the other half of it is going to have to be lost, meaning it's going to have to be burnt. Or as Tosfos says, maybe you could conceivably be poyder nimtzu shnei chatzon ovdin or shnei chatzon kriven. So in that case, also you have two of them are lost and two of them are offered. So both those cases, both where the remaining half of the first one became tomei or was lost or what have you, or where the Kohen Gadol passed away and you have a new one. The Rama brings a curious sefer, brings that we're learning two different things. First, because it says machtisa or machtisa. So machatzi soch, half of it. And then the other one, and the other thing we learned from the Vav, umachatzi soch ba'orev. And the half has to be in the afternoon, so therefore that from that we learn you can't use the half that was left over by the first one. The Gemara says, so now, what do we do with those halves that you can't bring as a korban? Tani Tana, Kamedi Rav Nachman, a Tana toward a Braisa in front of Rav Nachman, Mechtsa Rishon or Mechtsa Sheni, the half Isaron left from the first one, from the first Kohen Gadol, and the half left over from the second one, when he brought a new Isaron to Ubert Tzeros, and they have to be left overnight until their form changes. We've talked about this, we had this expression to Ubert Tzeros a few times in the Masechta already, as well as in Zvachim. Rashi regularly explains that means basically that's left overnight until it's not looking as fresh as it did before. Other Rishonim learn that may mean that you have to actually wait till it spoils, but mainly the point is, in other words, it becomes possible with Lina. By being left overnight, off the Mizbeach, it becomes possible. And only then, the Yetzel, the Vesas Seifa, and only then, the Yibronim. So Rav Nachman asks him, Amalei Rav Nachman, Vishlema Rishon, I understand why the half that was left over from the first coming Gadol, why we need to first leave it overnight till it becomes possible, Ichli Lakrava, because it was suitable to be brought as a carbon. Because when the first coming Gadol brought, when the first coming Gadol brought the first half, nobody knew he was going to die later that day. So therefore that one was very much on deck to be brought as a carbon. And now that it became possible, fine, it's not psul of a gufoy, there's no psul in the actual mincha itself. And the usual rule is whenever you have a psul in a carbon, because of an external factor, then you usually need ibrut surah before you burn it. Elishteni, but Rav Nachman says when it comes to the half of the second one, lomalei ibrut surah, why would you have to do ibrut surah? Ne'ikra le ibrut kasi to begin with. We know we're bringing it because it's going to have to be destroyed. Because only half of that Isarin is going to be offered. So in other words, the whole point why you need Ibrut Surah is because of a concept called Bizoyan Kodshim. You don't want to treat Kodshim disrespectfully and burn them when it's not necessary. But here, the second half, to begin with, you knew it wasn't going to be brought to the carbon. Why not go and burn it on the spot? And Rav Nachman says, Da'om Alachmani, who must have told you this Braisa? Tana Dvei Rav Baravua. This must have been a Tana from the yeshiva of Rav Baravua, the Omer, I feel a Pigul Tov in Ibud Surah, where Rav Baravua says that even Pigul, which is a classic example of a strong soul, so much more so, it's Zaraisa, it's Chayat Kodesh, and nevertheless he holds Tov in Ibud Surah, he holds that even Pigul would require Ibud Surah. It has to be left overnight and become not, it's not already, it's already possible as Pigul, it has to become even more possible by Lina before you can burn it. Tosfos says that because he would learn Xavier Shaga from Noiser. Noiser, by definition, was left overnight, and therefore he holds that Pigul would be as well. It brings another reason as well, because in general, Kodshim has to be burnt by day. Kodshim, not apostle, has to be burnt by day and not by night, and so he holds that so the same thing then. So it became Pigul, but you would have to wait until the next morning to burn it. Anyway, but in other words, Rav Nachman says only Rav Baravua holds that way. Everybody else doesn't hold that way. So your Braisa shouldn't be saying that you have to leave, that you have to do Ibrut Surah to the second one. But Rav Ashi Yomar for the Tamer Rabbanan. Rav Ashi says, no, you could actually say that the Braisa is going according to the Chachamim as well. Because given to be idna the palgi bahu, because when you first divide, fine, you're bringing one isarin. Eventually, only one half of that isarin is going to be used for the mincha. But which one? Iboi hai makriv, iboi hai makriv. After all, you could bring either one that you wanted. So therefore, mechsa chazu. Therefore, it can be considered that each of them had a period where it was roi to be brought as a korban until you actually decided that this one is going to be used for the korban, and you're going to start frying and baking and do all the other processes that we're going to talk about soon. And therefore, so it's considered that it had kind of a shasa kosher. It had a period when it could have been used for the mincha, and therefore you have to leave it, and therefore you have to do ibrut surah before you burn it. Okay. So the Gemara says itma. So now let's discuss how exactly these chavite kohen gadol are made. So let's look at the relevant psukim. The pasuk says that the kohen brings the korban, he brings asira se'efa, the half in the morning, half in the evening. Then the pasuk continues, al machmas v'shemen te'osa, it should be made in a frying pan with oil, murbeches tibiyena, you should bring it murbeches, we're going to talk about that murbeches means that the flour is scalded in boiling water. Tufine minchas pitim, it should be brought as tufine, which we're going to explain in a minute in the Gemara what that means, of a mincha of broken pieces, takuz reach mafayach Hashem, you should offer it as a fragrant korban, as a nachas ruach for Hashem. So let's learn about what all that means, that it's fried and it's tufine. So, chavite kohen gadol ketzed oisavis. How do you prepare with chavite kohen gadol? So Rav Chiya Ba'Abba says in the name of Rav Yechanan, first you bake it, first you take the dough with the oil mixed in, and you bake it, and then you fry it. And Rav Asi says in the name of Rav Chanina, the other way around, first frying, then baking. Well, Amar Rav Chiya Ba'Abba, kavasedi di mistabra. So Rav Chiya Ba'Abba says, you know, it's more logical to accept my opinion that we first bake it. Because when the pasuk says tufine, we should understand that means toifena noa. When you bake it, it should be baked nice. So when you're baking it in the oven, it should be nice. Now, if you fry it first, then it already becomes blackened by the oil and by the frying pan, and therefore it doesn't look so nice. So therefore, the Torah is saying tufine, implying, in other words, that the first thing, when you're first putting it in the oven, it should still look nice and fresh, and which would be only if it wasn't fried first. Rav Asi, Yom HaKavah say, Didimus Kabra. On the other hand, Rav Asi says that it's more logical like me, from the same word, Tufine, because we can doubt it, and that means Tufena na. It means when you bake it, it should be no. Now, no means like what you have it about the Korban Pesach. I'll toast the menu, no. Where it doesn't mean don't eat it raw. The Gemara explains in Pesachim that no means partially roasted, like rare. So the same way over here. So the same way over here, then, to no, on the contrary, would be that it's that's already partially prepared. Namely, in other words, that it was already fried. So therefore the frying should be done first. The Raivad gives an explanation that actually what it means is the Macholikas is really he says that Rav Asi would say that actually you don't bake it completely, you bake it a little bit to the point where it's only still nah, then you fry it. Whereas the opinion that says you fry it first would say Tefen and nah, mean on the contrary, the baking should make it nice, the baking should complete the process. So according to the Raivad, in other words, the explanation of the two opinions over here in the Gemara is exactly the other way around. Okay. So the Gemara says, well, there's actually a machlokas tanoi about that. Exactly that. Tufine, tofena na. The Tanakhama says it means bake it when it's raw. When it's not raw, but partially raw. So in other words, you fry it first. Rebbe Omer, tofena na. And Rebbe says it means that you should bake it when it's nice and not that it was fried first. Rabbi Yosi, but then we have a third opinion. Tefena Rava means you have to be baked again and again. So therefore, Rabbi Yosi says that actually you would bake it, then you would fry it, then you would bake it again. And the reason is isfeina, because Rabbi Yosi says you have to consider both drushas. The fact is the word tufine can be understood to include the word na as well as the word na'eh. And therefore he says you should have both. So therefore you should do it both. Rashi says a second explanation is that Rabba means that it's big and wide and flat. It would be nicer when it's done that way. So what you would do is, in other words, according to him, you would do you fry it first. According to him, you fry it first and then you bake it. So that way you have, according to that, it's raw when you first do it. This way you fry it first. This way when you bake it, it'll be partially raw. Then you bake it, and because it's wide and flat, that's called the rabba, and therefore it comes out looking very nice. Then Rashi says a third explanation, the girsa would not be rabba, but rather rakka, which means soft. So it should be, you put a lot of oil into it, as we're going to learn later on. You have a regular mincha is one isar and a flour and one lug of oil. Here, the chavitah kohen gadol is actually one isar and a flour to three lugim of oil. So it has a lot of extra oil in it, and therefore that makes it very soft and it looks nicer that way. So then, though it would still be that according to that, you fry it first and then you bake it so that you have both of them. Rashi says, I heard all three explanations from my rabbein. The Rambam, in fact, passes like Rabbi Yosi in that regard, that's what we do. First we fry it partially, then we bake it, then we fry it again to complete the process. And therefore it's called chavite, meloshen machvas, because it's prepared using a frying pan. So we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, we'll continue talking about the dinim of the Minchas Chavitin, and we'll also talk about tomorrow, Beis Hashem, what happened. We talked about the case where a new Kohen Gadol was appointed that day. What about where a Kohen Gadol was not appointed on that same day? What do we do as far as the Minchas Chavitin? And we'll talk about Beis Hashem, there's a sicha in that connection.